Welcome to 321 Go the Podcast. I'm John Pelkey.
And I'm Carissa Galloway, and we're bringing you stories from start to finish to keep the everyday athlete motivated to keep moving towards the next finish.
All right, Carissa, before there was a 321 Go, back in the dark ages, well, they weren't really dark because there was the Rise and Run podcast. A group of friends united by their love of Run Disney who wanted to share their love and joy on the airwaves. Do we call the podcasting the airwaves? We're going to go with that, with the waves. As of March 2024, they've released over 130 episodes and counting. We sat down with two members of the group, Bob and Jack, in Atlanta at the Jeff Galloway weekend to chat about the origins of the podcast and get to know Bob and Jack a little better and hear of their own Run Disney stories.
Well, I really loved learning about Jack's Disney background. I think you guys will too. And I just continue to be impressed with so many things about Bob. I mean, 70 and Dopey, and the list goes on and on. We also got to meet Bob's wife, and she is a trip. So a great couple. Would love to spend more time with both of them, and hopefully we can do that soon. Today in Healthier You, we're going to talk about plant botanicals. I know I've got John excited. And we answer a listener question about the Tower of Terror races. Thank you for your kind emails, especially the ones after our princess recap. If you know, you know. And thank you for sharing 321 Go. We want to grow this audience so truly we can convince more people to get moving. And you play a big part in that. Great. Share us on social, subscribe, email us at 321gopodcast@gmail.com. Your stories, and let's do this.
All right, Carissa, we took 321 Go on the road for the very, very first time to Atlanta for the Galloway, Jeff Galloway weekend. Now, let's start by talking about travel to Atlanta. From those of you who don't know, the drive to Atlanta from here in Central Florida, where we live, is, well, 6 hours and 15 minutes on a good day, of which there are none, or as much as 8 hours, depending on the travel. Jody and I ran into some inclement weather. We ran into a little bit of traffic, but all in all, our drive to Atlanta wasn't horrible. You, however, jetted in because of your level of prestige.
No.
Let's talk about that travel day, because I've always thought that to go to the Orlando International Airport, to check in, to get there in time, to go through security, to get on a plane, fly to Atlanta, get to the Atlanta airport, get out of the Atlanta airport, it really saved you probably about 40 minutes tops. What was your travel day like?
Well, I booked it on miles, so what the cost is, I mean, I guess that's still a cost, but Weston booked it on miles. My travel day was really easy getting there. Well, I won't say easy. So I got to the Orlando airport, and in the best of circumstances, I was carrying all my luggage. I can leave my house in the best of days 90 minutes before the flight leaves.
Oh, wow.
This one I left an hour and 45, and I get there, and both parking garages, like the line is backed up to get anywhere near the parking garage. So I had to, and the parking garages, they close them now, right? So they'll occasionally intermittently close parking garages. But when they close them, you know there's spots because they've been closed.
Right.
So I sneakily talked my way into the parking garage because I couldn't have gone around. I was going to miss out. It's fine. It's fine, MCO. It's totally fine. Got in the parking garage. I go through TSA pre-check, and Terminal B is always – I don't think the lines are that bad. So I got through that.
It's been better as of late. I will say that.
Pre-check I got through in 5 minutes. Did I go into I even had time to go into the Sky Club, fill my water, go to the bathroom, get some snacks, boarded the plane. We were delayed. We were 30 minutes delayed for those no reason delays. You get to the gate and they just don't board, and then you sit on the runway and they've given you a time. So it was fine for me, but then the woman next to me, bless her heart, she had less time to connect, and so she was starting to get really, really worried, and she didn't have – anyway, so I helped her, calmed her down, because I believe me, after missing our flight in LA, I know the rules on when they're going to close the gate. So let me think. I think I left my house at 11, and Barb picked me up at 3:30, so it really only took me – it didn't take me that long.
That's pretty good.
And then – I almost missed my flight on the way back. Do you want to know why?
Yeah, I would like to know.
Because I told Barb we needed to leave at 1:30, and that was 15 minutes before we really had to leave, but we left closer to 2. And that's all I have to say about that.
And now you guys were on the side of town.
The traffic was just
closer to
horrible.
The airport.
No,
right?
We have to go through downtown Atlanta, and the traffic was just terrible. I made it with 10 minutes. So
yeah.
Anyway,
we stayed a little bit longer with my friend, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute in the chat. But we had to go through downtown Atlanta and tried to time it out so it was like 10 o'clock
it's
in the morning.
It's just not possible so you've gotten to time
through, but
it
just
out.
There's no good time. No. I'm sorry. It's like I-4. It does. Atlanta's been that way since I started going there in the '80s. But a great town, and I'm glad. You know, again, our travel day. Not bad. We had snacks. We didn't stop. We only stopped for gas once. Took snacks so we didn't have to get any fast food or waste any time there. Had to get, as I said, the gas just the one time. And I guess probably door to door, we were at about 7 hours and 45 minutes, 7.5 hours. But
well, I guess yeah, I just good. Like, I like flying better because it's more like not thoughtful time. Like you're not right. Dry. You're not always focused. But anyway, let's move on because you got there. Friday, we had a wonderful happy hour event at the Jeff Galloway weekend, which one of the best things about it for me, we're going to talk about this, was just actually having not rushed conversations with people that we see all the time. But you get there, you stayed at the Lowe's. How were your accommodations?
Now, I should point out that you and Weston were good enough to say, hey, why don't you and Jody come up? We'll get your room on the podcast on the weekend, and you can do some Q&As. We'll do a couple of 3-2-1-go recordings, tapings, whatever you want to call it. I still call it taping, which I'm old.
And I said airwaves, so, you know.
Well, yeah. So, I have, you know, nothing to do. We just said, because you said you want to fly, you want to drive. And I was like, well, we'll probably drive up because my best friend from college lives there. So we got to the Lowe's, which was great. Found it very, very easily. Got in to check in. Everything was great. And I knew it was going to be cool because as I'm checking in, Scottie Pippen comes into the hotel. Who was staying there for the weekend and I don't know whether it was the college basketball tournament that was going on or something was going on NBA because I was busy with other things, but did not speak to Scotty, though I'd interviewed him back in the day, one of my favorite interviews we had at the ESPN Club. But that was cool, and we checked in. Everything was all taken care of, which was lovely. Thanks to you guys setting up our travel. And we went up to our room, and, you know, I've stayed in a lot of hotels in my lifetime. But only twice have I ever stayed in anything larger than a standard room in a hotel. Once, when I was traveling for Universal Studios and they didn't have a room for me, and they put me up in a conference room where I slept on a pullout
couch. Talked about that, yeah.
Another story for another day, though I did order 2 bottles of wine on the company that night because I figured they owed me that. And then there was this time. Where we opened the door to our room, and there was a long hallway. It was a long, long hallway. And we walked into then a larger living room than I've ever lived in, and a bedroom bigger than my bedroom at home, and an Architectural Digest-level bathroom. And I was fairly certain, you know me, that we were in the wrong room.
Of course.
But no, apparently... I don't know how this happened, but we were given a suite at the Lowe's in downtown Atlanta. Bigger probably than Scottie Pippen's room. I'm going to say that right now.
I don't know. I wasn't in Scottie's room. You got the Pippen room.
I think I did get the Pippen room, but it was amazing. Oh my goodness. It was so big that we talked about the cocktail hour. We actually had an after party in the hotel room. It was that big.
We did. Like we had a wonderful party, which we'll get to.
It was very prestigious. So I know somewhere there was somebody who was a little bit upset that it happened, even though they had no idea, because it was really not a John Pelkey level of prestige. It was a someone else level
Scottie
of prestige.
Pippen. But you deserved it, and you enjoyed it, I hope, and it was a great trip for you guys.
It was great. A fun weekend all the way around, but it was a really, really cool hotel, and the funny thing about being in Atlanta versus... Orlando, we're further south than Atlanta, for those of you who may be geographically challenged. But when you get to Atlanta, It moves at a southern speed. Like everything moves at a southern speed. When you go for breakfast, you're going to take your time because you're in the South. So we enjoyed the leisurely breakfast, even though that almost made me late on for our recording, and really enjoyed the hotel. So thank you. Now I don't want to stay in any room that's not a suite, and I will probably never stay in another one as long as I live.
Well, I can't, I don't have any control, but I hope that maybe if anyone's listening that works in the hotel business, but it's so nice when you get those like big rooms. It's just such a treat. So, and we did enjoy it by hanging out there a little bit well, but that was after the cocktail hour. So we got there on Friday. We had a cocktail hour at a nice Irish pub where we had tacos. So that's a juxtaposition there.
Yeah.
Off the
stuff. I love cover. We're covering, we're equal opportunity. International. Yeah. There was an international flavor to it all.
I had a Stella, so really checking off.
I was drinking Guinness and eating tacos, which honestly, if you know me, that's sort of me.
And now I just want a beer, but it's 12 in the afternoon, and that's not appropriate for right now.
Yes. I would also like to touch on the elephant in the room for that first night party is that we got lanyards with our names on them.
Yep.
And as frequent listeners of 321 Go, the podcast, realize, my wife did not take my last name. My wife's name is Jody Chase. She had established that as a performer and a professional and chose not to take my last name. And in addition to Jody Pelkey, just sounds, you know, it just doesn't really work. That's something that does not make my mother happy. But either you or Weston, I don't know who was involved in this, made my mother happy for that one weekend because Jody's lanyard said Jody Pelkey. So Donna Pelkey, 89-year-old Donna Pelkey in Emporium, Pennsylvania. Thanks you.
Did you tell her?
No, I didn't tell her because, you know, she most of the time when I call, she's not wearing her hearing aid, so that not a lot of information gets exchanged.
Maybe visually show her at some point. Weston made the lanyard.
I'll take a picture of it and send it to her, yeah.
He worked so hard on this weekend because they had to transition from having a race to having this weekend, and he basically did all of that himself. And he did a great job because I think this format was better than a race because instead of getting up, running a 5K, and leaving, we spent all day Saturday with everybody. We spent Friday night with everybody. They hosted a happy hour. Sunday was a very fun, relaxed race environment, which we'll talk about. But I was like, don't you know Jody's last name? But I guess he did not process that information or thought that it was like a – maybe that was – I don't know what he thought, but it said Jody Pelkey. And he was like, yep, I did that. He forgot one of Jeff's top-ranking officials, if you will. Kelly, she didn't have a name tag at all, so she was Elliot Galloway, which, you know.
Which I sort of appreciated.
He wasn't there either, so it was okay. But, she was Jody Pelkey for the weekend. It was good, and then we had a late night on Friday. You were going – there was a 5K fun run on Saturday, originally, that was planned for the weekend, and then – a fun half or go at your own distance. All this was untimed, fun events. So Jody and I had, as you've mentioned, asked you to do the 5K.
Wow, that is a liberal interpretation of the sentence, asked you to do a 5K.
Yeah.
The way it happened was you called my wife to ask her if I would be interested in doing a 5K because you knew calling me and asking me.
Thought like, well, you're going to be there. It would be a nice way for John to get in some training.
Sure.
I did.
Sure. And why ask John? Because
yeah, you just say no.
What part does he play in this drama?
I just thought I asked her like to gauge your feelings.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, admit it. You know me well enough to know if you'd have asked me, I'd have been like, I don't think I'm ready for that. Because that's what I said to Jody. Oh, God, I don't know if I want to do that because we're doing other things. And she said, that is an unacceptable answer. And so thusly, I volunteered, air quotes, because you can't see me, volunteered to run the 5K initially, the 5K fun run on Saturday.
And you volunteered. We said you could just walk. Right? Wasn't that
yeah.
what
no,
we
no.
said?
You guys did, you said, you know,
just
it'd be
walk.
Good to do
just
the
to
distance.
Just to get the distance on your feet.
Yeah. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is probably not a terribly bad idea.
Yes.
Because I do struggle in my long runs. And we'll get to that
but,
in a bit. But
then I'm
jumping back to
Friday,
late night.
I wanted to have some drinks. And of course, once you have a couple of drinks and you want everybody to have all the drinks with you too, don't you?
Yeah, and it was early, and so I acquiesced to have Guinness. One thing about Guinness is not only is it my favorite beer, but it is lower in alcohol content. And I thought, well, 5K, you know, I'm doing this early. I'll hydrate yep. up. I'll walk a good distance of it if I'm struggling. So I was cool and had my second Guinness, but you were enjoying beverages. My lovely wife was enjoying her beverages, and may or may not have had a third drink come my way, just through no fault of my own, frankly.
So then we just decided, you know what? You can do the 5K on Sunday. And we...
Yeah, no, I had no idea this was a choice, because I'm just like, I can't, guys, please look at me. I can't do this anymore. And you're like, oh, no, you can just run it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if I were to say I was going to run it tomorrow and something happened, like weather or something, then I would still have Sunday to run it. But if I say, all right, well, I'm not going to do it tomorrow, and I say I'll do it on Sunday, then if there's weather, I don't have to do it at all. Which in my mind was like, all right, this is a better choice anyway. And frankly, once I got the third beer, there was no choice involved any longer.
I was also like not going to the 5K, but I felt like if you were going, then I had to go.
See, now the truth comes
maybe
out.
Maybe that's where my motivation came from. And then it did, spoiler alert, actually rain on Sunday in the morning before the race started. And you came in and you were like, it always rains on my 5K.
It does. Two 5Ks rain, but the rain really kind of let up before we started running. It was unlike the back last spring for Disney, yeah, where it rained for about the first 15 minutes.
Yep.
That I was running, so we didn't have to deal with that. But I got out of doing the 5K on Saturday, so all I had to do was our recording and our Q&A and everything.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, it was just a blast across the board, yeah, all of it. And you know, you go into those going, both you and I were like, run Disney Q&A, when we get like, it's going to be you and I and
the wall.
I should call Jody and tell her to come out here. Maybe Weston will ask a question. But we had a good crowd for it.
We did. We had a woman who'd never done a Run Disney race. She asked a great question. What was funny is we were recording it, but we're not going to put it out because every question was about like, when this went wrong, what did you guys know about it? When the weather
A lot of questions about Disneyland. Had a bunch of Disneyland
folks. We
did.
Yeah, we did. And I think we answered them to the best of our knowledge, as we've pretty much answered always here in the podcast about anytime there's something we don't know anything, but we shout out the people that do know. So the Q&A was great. And then on Saturday, the first thing we did was what you're about to hear, the Rise and Run podcast with Bob and Jack. And then we also did the podcast with Jeff, which you heard the other day. But it was just such a cool environment of just basically it was a day of seminars where Jeff spoke, Chris spoke, there were drills. We did a bigger Q&A. It was just really fun to see people like Stephanie running through breast cancer. She was there. We got to chat with her. A lot of other people that we see at Disney races, we see on social media, but we never get to have more than a 2 to 3 minute conversation with. So
no.
I don't.
And we got to talk to them over days.
I know.
A number of them were at the cocktail reception, the opening thing. And then Saturday, obviously, a lot of people were there for all of the festivities. And the majority of the folks who were there on Saturday also showed up on Sunday to run the half. And so, yeah, it was great, like a weekend-long discussion, which was very enlightening for me as well, somebody who's not really taken part other than the 5K in springtime, and it's all different for us because of the way we go through it. It's really interesting to get folks just their observations on what those weekends are like, what they like, and what maybe we could do better.
Yeah. Yeah, and just great meeting people. The runners are such a great group, so supportive. So that was Saturday. The bulk of the day was just kind of very relaxing, chatting with people. We ate dinner separately because you had a big day in the morning. It was 5K day. How did you feel?
Well, I looked at my weather app all Saturday afternoon and Saturday night just thinking, okay, there's rain in the
rain.
Area. Is that a thunderstorm? Oh, thunderstorm. And I'll be able to get out of doing this. But I did. So we went back, ate at the restaurant at the hotel, which was lovely, and went to bed. I went to bed almost too early because I generally get about 7 hours of sleep, but I got more than that, and then I woke up, but it was still like 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a Run Disney race, so I was going to be there at a reasonable hour. But I woke up and I was a little bit testy.
Okay.
I'll say that. Okay. with my wife. I was a little bit like, good Lord, I don't. But this is me whenever I have to do
that's just
anything.
That's just called anxiety. That's what it is,
yeah,
right?
There like, was a great
fear,
deal of anxiety.
Anxiety, like, what if I fail? Blah, blah, blah. Like, and unfortunately.
Yeah, and it was at that point. There was a little drizzle going, and I thought,
yeah,
oh, God, am I going to run?
Rain.
Am I going to get blisters? I'm going to be dealing with that for the rest of the weekend because I was going to go hang out with my buddy Andy and his wife Michelle, and it's going to be horrible. However,
started at 8 a.m., so that wasn't a complaint, but.
By the time I got there and was chatting with folks, realized that there were a number of different paces that I could run, decided I was going to try to run it at the 14-minute pace because that was better than the time that I'd run at Disney, even though I did stop for the ugly topiary photo and the three-mile photo at Disney, so that did hold me up a little bit. No offense to the topiary, but it was just I think it was a normal bush, and I thought it was a topiary and got a picture of it. Story for another day. But by the time I got there and that, I kind of felt like, okay, I think I can do this. I feel like I could do. I mean, I know I knew I could finish.
Yes, yeah.
But I kind of wanted to keep up the pace. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
I set up the bar for myself. I want to keep that pace up or better, and I just really want to do this legitimately. I don't want it to be, haha, isn't it funny, John can walk 3 miles.
Which is still an accomplishment if that's where you are in your journey. But yes, you wanted to feel proud of your effort.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to shout out to Ryan, our pacer, who was on the – I normally, when I'm training, we've talked about this, I normally do what the Galloway app sort of told me to do, for 5K to finish, 10K to finish, which is a minute run and 30-second walk. I do pretty well with that through about 2 to 2.5 miles, but then I find I really start to fatigue. My legs start to go. So I went with Ryan the pacer and the 30-second run, 30-second walk, and it was revelatory. It changed the entire way that I felt about the race. Despite the fact that when I got to the halfway point, I thought I was done. And you guys laughed at me and disabused me of that.
Well, that's a little bit of my fault because I didn't. Weston tried to explain to me the course, and he was saying when you get back, you're at 1.5. But I thought he was saying that out and back is 1.5. So bless his heart, John comes by the halfway, and we're cheering for him, but he goes to stop, and we're like, no, John. He's like, I feel great. I've never felt so good for a 5K. And we're like, that's because you've done half a 5K. And we didn't want you to get angry. We were like, please keep going. Keep going. And you did.
I stopped and I hydrated.
Yes.
So I really just took a moment to stop and
hydrate. You took
that
news extremely well.
And then you were lovely enough to run, walk along with me on the 30-30s, which is probably something you haven't done in decades. I felt really, really good even about that second half. And when what I realized when I was at the finish, unlike last spring when I was at the finish and like, I cannot go further. I knew I could go further. I wasn't going to break any records or I wasn't going to be doing it as fast, but I did see, and we've talked about this. I did see improvement in myself as an athlete from when from a year ago. So that made me feel really, really good about it. And then, of course, everyone was so supportive as I do my 5K and they're all running a half marathon. The vast majority of folks doing a half marathon, but they were all very, very supportive of me. So it was actually a really positive experience.
I'm so proud of you. And I did. I got to run with you back and you were talking, you were pleasant, you were doing really well.
I was pleasant. What are the odds of me being pleasant?
Because I was like, I had to tell you to run, walk, you know, okay, we got to run again. And you never complained. You just kept going. So I guess my question and a little bit my concern is that when we get to 10K, should you be able to run? Should you run? You're going to be in corral A. There's no pacers.
Yep. Right.
You think you're going to be able to maintain that 30-30 on your own?
Yeah, I think I'll probably have the same issue that a lot of people have coming out of the initially. And now that I've learned how that works is it's difficult for that until it spreads out a little bit, even in Corral A, to not just sort of go with the pack. But I think I think I'll be able to manage it a little bit better. And I certainly think changing my pace up and for that, I may change it a little. I spent a lot of time talking to Jeff about the different paces and, you know, and he just assured me, he said, well, you know, the 1 minute 30 second thing, that's a suggestion. It's kind of, but you really do need to, and this is something that I haven't done. I've just, you know me, rule follower. Yep. Oh, this is what I have to do. You really do need to massage that and see where your sweet spot is. So I think I'll be good. The challenge will be the first like half mile where you're in that big, where you're in that big group. And after that, it'll just be people running by me and me saying hello to them as they pass me.
As you say, well, if you need a running buddy, I'm sure someone would come and help you with the 30-30s if that you think would help you. But I know sometimes it's almost better to be by yourself. So when you struggle, you don't have to like feel like there's another person judging you.
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah. And I think for a 10K, for me, it's like once I get through like the first mile of it and stay on my pace, then I'll be able to relax a little bit. But I know it's going to be, I'm going to be nervous. Should I be able to run that in the spring? But I'm going to give it the college try. And I actually have I'm very, very confident that I can finish ahead of the balloon ladies. Me holding back the balloon ladies at some point.
The balloon ladies coming in on drones. We'll talk about that a little bit later on.
I still think it's a great idea.
But I also do want to just point out the reason why John is starting in A is because he needs to get back to the finish and work. So he could just start, you know, later. Yes.
No, I did PR. PR at the Galloway weekend. I ran faster than the Pelkey Running Club is supposed to be able to run. So we had to change the bylaw.
13:30 for your second half. So kudos to you. I did 6 miles that day. I thought about doing the full thing and I thought, well, I'm just going to hurt myself doing that. I'm not trained for it. There's no need. So I did 6. I ran a little bit with Weston's cousin, David Paul, and his other cousin's husband, Dan. David Paul was there helping support his mom who has Alzheimer's, Barb's sister. So we're going to talk to him
raising
a little bit
money.
Later.
Yeah.
But you might have seen it on my Instagram, Running for Memories. So check that out. And then we wrapped up the weekend, John, with some giveaways. And you did some Civil War trivia. How exciting was that for you?
I always want to do Civil War trivia.
I know.
And you guys were nice enough as you were giving away things.
I couldn't think of any questions, so.
You could, and I just, in an attempt to be funny, I said, I'll do some trivia, but it's got to be either Kennedy assassination or Civil War. And apparently the decision was made that the Kennedy assassination, probably not a joyous post-run thing to discuss.
But the Civil War,
but
though,
apparently
really?
The American Civil War, which killed 750,000 people, that one was fine.
Oh, that's still awful.
But I got to do Civil War trivia. I threw out a very, very easy question.
And nobody knew
at least
it.
In my mind. And it took a while, but we did get a winner.
I mean, it took a while because it was like we were going to run out of options at some point. It was like,
right.
It was like
I asked what the extreme left, the Union Line, Gettysburg, Little Round Top, July 2nd, 1963, 101 years before I was born, to the day, by the way. What was that? It's a very famous regiment. What state was the regiment from? So basically, you had all the Union states to choose from. I don't think anybody chose a territory that was not yet a state because I was waiting for the South Dakota. No, it wasn't a state then.
What was the answer again?
Idaho.
Maine? Not Maine.
It was Maine.
Woo!
Yes, it's the 20th Maine.
Yes.
It's the 20th Maine. And so I was able to bring that up and then also say, by marriage, I am related to Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, the Medal of Honor winner, who was the captain of the 20th Maine, future governor of Maine and president of Bowdoin College. Anyway, I could go on about Chamberlain.
No, we're good. So wraps it all up. We've gone full circle back to Mrs. Jody Pelkey, originally from Maine. It was a great weekend.
New Hampshire.
Okay.
She's actually in New Hampshire.
Well,
I don't get that.
We
get very angry. She wants
Maine.
To live in Maine,
no,
but we don't have that earning potential.
Okay.
So.
Well, it was a great weekend. I'm so glad you and Jody could come. You did drag bingo, which we'll have to talk about another day because we got to dive into the Rise and Run podcast. But really, just a great, fun weekend.
Yeah, it really was great. Thanks to everybody. Again, all the people. Shout out to Stephanie, who's been recommending compression socks for me, actually, since. And again, Ryan, who was our pacer, who kept me on the 30-30 and chatting with him. You know, again, and I'll just jump back to this for a second, because you said something about, you know, sometimes it's good to run alone. But I did find, actually, that having the conversation with Ryan, other people in our group, and then you, kind of took my mind off what I was going through physically. So I think between finding my pace and interacting with people. So I apologize to anybody who may run with me in spring. I may be chatty. I may end up being chatty.
Hey,
which I didn't expect.
The Michael Gabriel of running, you know, the chatty runners, they're out there. So good. Well, whatever, you know, whatever comes your way, I know you'll do amazing. So kudos to you. Kudos to everybody who did the Jeff Galloway weekend. And John, before we move on, It's an exciting day because, as we said, we'd be doing a giveaway in the month of March for anybody who supported us. They clicked that link in the notes. And that time is now. So five people. We have lots of supporters. We picked five. Adrian and Emily, Don, Melissa, April, and Bill. I don't want to say your full names, but I guess I have to. So you won. But if you think that's you and just tell us that you won, you have a choice of prizes. A motivational video from either John or myself for you or someone you like. You can get a spring meal plan from me or a membership for the monthly Healthier You Chats that Jeff Galloway will be joining us on April 29th. So email us 321gopodcast@gmail.com if you were one of those supporters that won. Pick your prize. And then if you want to be a supporter and maybe win a prize, check the show notes on how to do that. We are so thankful for all of your support.
Yes, we are. And we also want to thank Sarah Akers at Runs on Magic. As a lover of Run Disney yourself, Sarah always loves helping plan those magical weekends. But that's not all.
No.
The world is your oyster with Sarah's help. Maybe it's a honeymoon getaway. And if it is, congratulations on your nuptials. An all-inclusive girls trip, like Carissa did a cruise with Angela a couple of weeks ago, and we've talked about. Maybe a boys' weekend. You're going to Vegas. Put all your money on the Raiders winning the Super Bowl. Probably not going to happen. Whatever it is, international travel, Sarah is there to help you, and she will she'll make sure it's as magical as one of those Run Disney weekends.
That's right. So when you go there, use the promo code 321GO to request your vacation quote, and then you can be entered to win up to a $200 Disney gift card or booking credit. Find her on Instagram at Runs on Magic. And as you're getting ready for springtime, do so with Fluffy Fizzies. Again, in those show notes, we've got a link there. You can use the code Carissa Galloway. It's my whole name. And save 10%.
Okay, civilians, it's time for the goods. Let's get on to the interview.
They refer to themselves as a group of friends united by their love of Run Disney. Now, that can be used to describe a lot of different groups of folks that we get the privilege of seeing and talking to, celebrating those early Run Disney race mornings and the occasional evening. But this group of friends, Carissa, took their affection for running at Disney to another level. And on October 22nd, 2021,
shout out to my... specific, John. You felt the need to be specific.
I shout out to my best friend whose birthday is October 23rd. It's really the only reason I put it down there, my best friend growing up. They dropped the first of, as of this recording, 129 episodes of the Rise and Run podcast, which has become essential listening for an ever-growing segment of the Run Disney community. And we are so happy to have with us today from Rise and Run, Bob and Jack. Welcome to 321GO on the road in Atlanta.
How exciting. Thank you so much for having us. By the way, John, October 22nd, my wedding anniversary.
Oh, very well. Mine's April 22nd.
There we go. Well, we're all good. Good to go.
All right, we'll just wrap it up there.
It's October 26th. Anyway, Bob's talking and we haven't even formally welcomed him in. That's how you know you have a podcaster here. He's just jumping in.
Oh, gosh. It's all one big
family. We're not amateurs.
Family,
this is all professionals here.
We're glad to be here.
This is just all inside baseball. Only other podcasters will find it entertaining, but whatever. We're going to do this. We're going to enjoy it.
Well, we're here in Atlanta as part of the Jeff Galloway weekend, so we're excited you guys could join us here at Ainslie Mall. We usually say, how are you and where are you? But I've already established the location. You seem well. So we're just going to dive in and talk about not the podcast first. We want to know individually what your Disney history is. So we'll start with Jackie. Talk about your Disney.
Well.
That was a very princess.
No, I grew up going to Disney ever since I was 4 years old, but I didn't start running at Disney until 2018 when my friend was like, you want to run a half marathon? And I thought about it for like 2 seconds. I said, sure. And then was like, okay, I didn't train properly for it. So
see, now my response would have been, no, what's wrong with you?
Oh, no. I mean,
and then I would have not trained either. So we have that in common. I wouldn't have trained.
I think my problem with just running in general or races, I don't ever do research. So I just assume I'm just going to do it and see what happens and I'll learn from it. And that's been my thing for most of my running career. But yeah, I did the Disney College program as well. So I worked over at Tower of Terror. I was a bellhop over there. I loved theming. I felt like I loved it when I would get people to come back and be like, "You scared me last time." I was like, "You're welcome." And then I worked over at Fantasmic, and yeah, that's kind of my Disney story. Oh, and I met my boyfriend there.
Oh,
I know, a true Disney romance.
I have a follow-up question. Were you one of the people that put your face right when the door would open at the end of the ride?
Can I be honest? I did something I'm not supposed to do. There's a lot of things I'm pretty sure I probably could have gotten fired for, but they never caught me. So you're not supposed to scare them. But what I would do is I would actually, before the doors open, I would step back a few feet. And when I start seeing it come open just a little bit, I would burst in running, screaming. I'm like, "Oh my God, I finally found you." it was great. That's reactions.
Awesome. And now I should say, but I'm going to jump in here. You also have a little bit of a Universal Studios history. And since I do as well, as does Carissa.
What?
Let us know about that.
I didn't know about that one.
I walked Stiltwalker there, so I wasn't a Universal employee team.
Well, it's kind of like I was kind of like I am for Disney.
Well,
or
yeah,
you
yeah,
are.
We're same thing. But contract. I walked over by Poseidon, which where John worked.
That's amazing.
Not actually in the Poseidon Adventure. Oh, I was okay. Just outside telling people that the ride was closed, and then
oh, fair enough.
So here's the thing.
Not even a ride. So here's the thing. You're not getting in there, but you want to take
here.
A picture with this guy that
I'm
you don't know.
I'm here to entertain you.
Yes. Let me do a song from 1776. You'll enjoy that. All right, Bob, what's your Disney history?
Disney history. Well, I mean, I grew up as a Disney kid. First trip to Disney World, 1974, friends. Yeah, most of you weren't around.
I was around.
I know. That's good. I appreciate that, John. Thank you.
I remember 1974
yeah.
vaguely.
I was an Army cadet at training at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. We got off 4 days for the 4th of July weekend. We came out of the field at midnight, hopped in the car, drove down here. Spent a day at Disney World in 74. That was my first trip. Only thing open, of course, was Magic Kingdom. We thought it was spectacular. I was pretty well hooked. Didn't get back until the 90s when I had children of my own. We came through here. And Disney history, that's it. Didn't work at Disney. Didn't work at Universal.
Okay. Bob, how dare you?
Yeah.
Well, you beat me by 2 years because my first year there was 1976 as a guest back in those days.
I like that I can raise my hand. Yep. I mean, usually we're on video. You didn't work at Disney, but Bob, I don't know what you did in real life.
In real life?
Yeah.
I was a 20-year Army career.
Okay.
Retired in 1995, primarily as a pilot in the Army.
Really?
Helicopters, airplanes, yeah.
Wow.
He throws that out, just flip it. Helicopters, airplanes, hovercrafts, the occasional Saturn rocket.
Loved it, really did.
Yeah, I bet.
For a few years, I worked with Movie Gallery. Are you familiar with Movie Gallery? It was a video retail chain.
Yeah.
I was their director of distribution for Movie Gallery. That was kind of tough. And then came back to a government contract job for 20 years, again in aviation, this time flight simulation.
Oh,
so
cool.
Now I'm retired.
Yeah. Well,
you're
I assumed
so
you were
cooler.
Retired now. But yeah. I know. I didn't know. I mean, I should know these things. And
that's
I will stop.
So interesting. And I have to. And we'll stay on there just for a moment. As your career in the Army to take you all around the world.
Mostly Asia. I never got over to Europe. I was in Korea a couple times. I spent some time in Japan, Alaska, and Hawaii, and then throughout the States. But I never got to Europe.
That's cool. Well, growing up in Washington, D.C., every other person I ever met in my lifetime was an Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine veteran. So it's always fun to find out what people's careers were like. My dad joined the Navy to see the world, and he had 400-mile round trip from where he did his boot camp to, and then he was stationed in his hometown of Washington, D.C., and never set foot on a ship, and never saw any of the world.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. Okay, let's ask about your athletic history. Now, Jack, you touched on this a little bit. Prior to your Run Disney career, what was your athletic history?
So I did track like you did. So I did...
So poorly.
I don't know about that.
Just tease it up, right?
I'm caffeinated now. I got my second coffee in the morning.
The other two are coming.
I would say high jump a little poorly because by the time I got to senior year, I was like, I don't feel like running anymore. So I was like, I just stuck to high jump because it meant I didn't have to really run.
It's only like 12 yards or something to run.
Well, they, so In my school, you can only choose one sport at a time. They kind of made it a thing when I went into high school. And so at the time, so to go back before track, I did soccer, and then I kind of made a notion that I've been wanting to run. And I made a notion to be like, hey, this is an individual sport, so technically, is there any way that I could technically do two sports in one season? So I was able to do cross country, loved it. Oh my God, I wish I could do it all 4 years, but by the time I did it, it was like, it was my junior year, and I just was tired because it was a long season. But with track, I did the 1600. I remember my fastest, I think, was like a 6:53. Mm. I kind of wish I would have stuck with it because I feel like I would have gotten faster. And then I did the 400s like you. Hi.
Right there. You bet.
Shout out to the Purdue Boilermaker who just joined us here.
I know.
Somewhere else, so go Boilermakers.
Did you do the 4x4s too?
Yeah, I did the 4x4, the 6-lap relay and indoor track, yeah. we would call it, and then the straight up four, and I'm old, it's the 440, it wasn't the 400 meters, and that was the 440.
Right.
And then I was a really bad high jumper, I love track in high school. I played football as well, mm-hmm. but that was really because I wanted to get girls, which... semi worked out my senior year. Prior to that, I really didn't do much. If you're not any good, by the time you're a senior, at least younger girls will think you're cool, which I was not in any way. But I enjoyed the track season probably more than the football season. I mean, playing football was fun, but there was something, again, about track that gave you a community. You know, we'd all sit in the middle of the track between our events and meet people from other schools. And, you know, if you even speak to somebody on the other team when you're playing football, the coach will bench you. I'm right there with you. All right, Bob, what was yours? Now, obviously, in the military, your guy was in good shape.
Yeah, worked in the military. As hard as it is to believe, I was a basketball player. You know, I know it's a stretch. But...
By the way, Bob's 5'4", everyone.
That's how tall I am.
Bob may not be 5'4".
Bob may be more than a foot over 5'4".
Saw Scottie Pippen last night at the bar.
Yes, we did.
Really?
Yeah, he's staying in our hotel.
Oh, how about that?
Yep.
But I played at a very small college, Dickinson College, Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
You know it well.
A lot of walk-ons. I was one of them. You talk about played poorly. I was okay. I mean, the coach is talking to me at my first Christmas break, and he goes, I haven't told this story before. You haven't heard it either.
Oh.
He's gone. And he used to talk like this. Bobby, and he called me Bobby Rakel. Bobby Rakel. You're the youngest guy on the team. But you're always in control. You keep your head about you. You know what you're going. You do. If only you had any talent, you'd be great. And I bust up laughing. And I see the tape replaying in his eyes. He goes, what did I say? I'm trying to be nice. What did I say? He goes, I didn't mean that. I just said, not only did you mean it, you are exactly right. If only I had any talent. But so
it's kind of like the Rudy thing. If I could just put your heart into actually talented athletes.
That's it. That's it. But I got the best that I could, and that was fun, and I did that. And athletically after that, Army, as you said, I was very active as a referee, soccer and basketball at the high school and the adult amateur level. And really enjoyed that up until about my mid-50s when I just couldn't keep up with them anymore.
Yeah. But I was going to ask if it was because of the parents, because, I mean, we all know the horror stories of being
the parents of the middle-aged adults.
It's tough.
Well, I remember we had a really good high school basketball team, and I remember not playing basketball but going to the games. I mean, we would just ride the referees. Now, we weren't offensive, but it's just we get the whole gym, yeah. You know, at a chant, and I'm just thinking, why would anybody want to do that?
There were moments where I thought that too, but no, I really enjoyed it. And I got to a point where I knew that when I went into the gym, the coaches, I had to respect the coaches and the players, and they knew me. It was when we start in soccer particularly, it's the parents. Then you graduate, now you're refereeing young adults. Now you're dealing with their wives and girlfriends. So it's just as bad.
Now, can I say, I'm sorry, I know I'm jumping a little bit. I'm going to ask another follow-up, if you deal with it.
Did you raise your hand?
I'm raising my hand now. When you watch a game now.
Yes.
You critique the referees.
I don't watch it the same as you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I critique the referees, but I pay more attention to the referees. I used to train soccer referees, and I told them at opening session, I said, you're never going to watch a game the same anymore. I said, coaches watch it one way, fans watch it another way, and you're going to watch it a third way. And so, yeah, I still watch it like a referee. I do.
I praise you for being a ref. I tried it 1 year for soccer for little kids. And I'm going to be real. I had no clue who kicked the ball out of bounds. So I would guess it sometimes. And then the parents like, what? Nope. That's right.
I don't think people realize how difficult those jobs are really on any level. It's really easy to criticize. But I would ask anybody who's criticizing like a football or basketball referee, go stand on the side of the court or the side of the field.
Yeah.
Don't watch it on television and see if you can figure it out.
Yeah.
Because
the speed of the game and all that. Well, again, training guys, I used to tell a class that would come in, I said, half of you are going to quit this year. And I'd be right. But I loved it. I did it as long as I could.
That's very Grey's Anatomy of you. That's what they, said in the first episode of Grey's Anatomy. But that's another story.
The first episode, that was like, what, 1811?
I know,
because that show's been on.
Pre-Yellowstone. Yeah.
Good Lord.
I'm going to start with Bob on this question, and then we'll head on over. What drew you to the Run Disney races, and what were your first races like?
Yeah, that's a good question.
John wrote it. It is a good question. Good job, John.
Johnny does some things well. We
had come back to Disney. My wife and I had come back to Disney a couple times, and we loved it now. We're adults. I ran recreationally in the late 80s when I was in Hawaii because, oh, man, you want to be outdoors.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do, and then I kind of stopped. I think social media, as much as anything, got me back into it. I didn't know about Run Disney. And I started reading about it, and I found out about this thing, and I found about the wine and dine race, because Becky and I were coming to the Food and Wine Festival every year.
When, folks, it was just the Food and Wine Festival. There wasn't a festival all year long.
That's right.
Like 6 weeks.
And it was only, that's right.
It was one festival.
That's right.
It meant something.
Yeah.
So, we might have to edit that one out if we want to keep working there. They don't even take the little shacks down anymore. They just keep them up year round.
I know.
It's upsetting. All right.
But anyway. We would come to that. Somehow I found out about it online, and I wanted to do this wine and dine, but I was too late. I couldn't get registered. So I spent like a year and a half reading about it, getting excited about it, and then finally in 19, I did my first one, 2019. But I really think social media brought me back into it.
And how was that first race for you?
Man, it was wonderful. Wine and dine half marathon. It's all I did. It was my first organized race in like 25 years. And I remember I had also discovered Jeff's Method by then. If you're in Run Disney, you discover Jeff's Method. I print it out, and I'm checking off the days, and I get into it. I hadn't done a half marathon, like I said, in a long time. About 7 or 8 miles into, there's a picture of me, big grin on my face, because I'm thinking, I got this.
Yep.
I'm going to finish this thing. I was hooked.
Yeah.
I was hooked. I haven't missed a Wine and Dine weekend since. And I've grown to do other things. I'm about to do my 50th Disney run here not too long.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. 50th, do them all this season. And my 50th will actually be, and this is appropriate, the Wine and Dine 5K next year.
Nice.
It'll be run number 50.
And your wife is on board with this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does she come with you to race weekend?
She comes with to race weekend. She's been doing the 5Ks with me where we stroll along. And just take our time and enjoy it. She retired last year and then has done every one this year so far. But now she's serious. She's had enough. And she doesn't like getting up that early is the thing.
It's hard.
Because we have fun with it. But yes, Becky has done the 5Ks quite a few.
Love that. Now, we heard about you, how you signed up for your first half, but how did that go and what brought you back?
Yeah, like I said, I'm very much a spur of the moment. I'll kind of do a decision and then live with the after effects of it. And I'm happy to say that the race, although I didn't train the way it should, because I learned you shouldn't train almost the whole time on treadmills. And I only trained up to 8 miles. That was problem number two.
And that's not as uncommon as you may think. We get a lot of people saying that.
Farther than a lot of people.
Yeah, we get a lot of people. Well, I've gone 6 miles. Yeah. I'm like, it's twice that far.
I have stairs in my kitchen.
Honestly, training for it was fun though, because there was a gym that had like a movie theater cinema. So I would just go and run while the movie's going. But it was always better when it was like an action movie, so you felt like you were running away from somebody.
So the remains of the day wouldn't be, you wouldn't say, put that one up. No Merchant Ivory films are a good choice. Fair enough. My Dinner with Andre.
I don't know what that movie is. I'm sorry.
John, just nod and let it go. Yeah.
Carissa will make the actual pop culture references that people understand. Yeah, Bob got to My Dinner with Andre.
Yep.
It's two guys sitting at a table. Let's just say that, folks. It's all it is, a whole movie.
But I will say, there's something about Run Disney that I'm glad that it sparked my love for running, because I do love running, even in high school. And I know for my last year in track, I just went to high jump. But there's something about a Disney race that makes it so magical and so memorable. And my friend and I started together in the race. I remember it was my first race. We started in Corral F. It was Princess 2018. And right as the race started, we were kind of different paces. And she's like, "Oh, just go have fun." I was like, "Are you sure?" She's like, "Yeah." I remember I didn't want to see any characters yet because the lines were so incredibly long that by the time I got to the castle, someone looked at my bib and you're like, "You're from Corral F?" I was like, "Yeah, why?" She's like, "Oh." She looked at her bib. She's like, "I'm like Corral C." I had caught up to the other corrals because I was so afraid of these notorious balloon ladies. Mm-hmm. I was like, "When am I going to see them? Oh my God." I didn't realize they started at the very end of the race. I just figured that someone was watching you the entire time.
They just like, show up with balloons.
Drone.
I'm sorry.
A Disney drone that flies over.
I had no clue. And so by the time I got to the castle is when I relaxed, when that lady was like, "Oh my gosh, you're so fast." I was like, "Well, I didn't realize." And so that's when I started seeing characters, and it was the most magical thing ever. And since then, I've been addicted to it. And I remember signing up for the marathon, and my friend was like, "That's crazy. Why would you sign up for the marathon? You're only up to mile like 13, 15. I trained up to 17, I think, that year. Mm-hmm. You know, what's another 9 miles or whatever? And it was, again, the most magical thing. Yeah. So, like, and then having the community. I always ran by myself, so being able to meet everybody, I didn't start doing that really until being with you guys on the podcast, because I didn't really know too many people. And then I'm like, what has my life been without all, you know, having done it by myself for so long, then doing it with you guys? It's like, there's this huge, beautiful community. It's one of the best things that could have ever happened. And I'm so happy to be a part of it because it's so unique, so beautiful. And yeah, just talking to everybody.
It's the ironic thing about it. It's the most individual of sports.
Yeah.
Yet it has maybe the most supportive of communities.
Yeah.
I agree.
In and around it from what I've seen. And there are no referees to get yelled at, too.
Yeah. Just balloon ladies, though. Maybe we should tell that to Mark, that like there should be a corner, and the people with balloons, your wife, just jumps out. Gotcha.
Oh. Wait. All right, hold on. Let me take a note. That's really good.
Well,
Jack, you did a good segue into this. Mentioned getting involved with the podcast. What was the catalyst behind the podcast? When did you decide?
Yeah.
Now, I know that it's now the law that we all have to have a podcast.
Well, something
everyone
like that.
In North America has a podcast now. But what got you guys started?
I loved the community. So as soon as I got running in Disney, I loved the community. I loved the interactions on Facebook pages. We started, credit to Alicia, a member of the Rise and Run gang, who started a Facebook group, the Run Disney Motivational Team, which she started it, I don't know what day, I joined the next day. And we were very active there. We grew from there, customized training. I got with Chris Twiggs, customized training, and he would have the Zoom calls. They were fun. I said, let's do Zoom calls for our Facebook group. So we started that. Jack was very active in that. That grew until, as more or less as you just said, John, I wanted to do something else. And I loved listening to podcasts about running at Disney, but there were a lot of podcasts about running. There are a lot of podcasts about Disney, but there really weren't any dedicated to running at Disney, at least not when I was listening. I said, well, why not? Let's give it a shot. And I got together. I knew Alicia. I had met Greg. John, Lexi, and Jack were mostly from our Zoom calls. Mm. And they were active in all our Zoom calls. I said, let's get them. I didn't want to be alone. So we ended up with seven of us at one point. We added Allie.
Yeah.
But just one, what really set it off for me is a friend, Laura from the Netherlands, says, hey, I'm going to be on a podcast. It's the We'll Run For podcast. Please listen. So I did. I listened. And again, I want to credit these guys. They helped us. And I said, you know what? I think I can do that. I think we can do that. And so we launched. I remember telling the gang, we're going to listen to our first episode someday, and we're going to go, oh, my God, that was horrible.
No.
But you got to get started.
Right.
That's the craziest thing. I remember just starting it and then being like, I bet you five people are going to listen. Wait, six, because there's six of us.
So that's right. That's right. That's
at the first episode, at the very least. Yeah. And I never thought this would ever get as big as it did.
Oh, no. Never saw this.
Well, you sort of answered this, Bob. Did you do any other research about podcasting before you dove in?
I did. I searched online. I found that the ideal time for podcast duration was about 20 minutes. We decided we were going to make ours 30 to 45.
And then it ends up as
2.5. Yeah.
You have the best intentions.
Yes. But we thought, okay, 30 to 45, that'll be go along with Jeff's weekday runs.
Yep.
And that didn't last. Our first early on are about 30 to 45. But I think by episode 5, when we started inviting and talking to other people, people who had run Boston, people who had this experience, that experience. Yeah. And then we actually, when you get late in the season, getting ready for the marathon weekend, we try to go long because the training runs are long.
Yeah.
So we try to go 2.5 hours or so. It's Tuesday evenings. Tuesday evenings stretch out for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have a good rhythm. John and I have been on. It's really a fun thing. Bob, you're obviously, it's Bob the captain of the ship. Is he the leader?
Wait, he's an Army guy. That's really a horrible
analogy. Military precision. You mentioned the early episodes. How did those recordings go? Did everything go well? You know, what did you learn in those early episodes?
We learned that we were very lucky to have Greg with us.
Yes.
Because you are lucky, yeah.
I knew Greg was involved in audio and video recording and editing, but I didn't realize that more or less his profession was editing podcasts.
Wow.
So the first one through. Yeah, yeah. And he continues to this day to do a wonderful job. We learned that we needed better equipment.
Yeah.
And it didn't take us too long to do that because you had the echoes, etc. And what else did we learn, Jack?
I don't know. I just feel like we grew, as time grew, I think things just became more natural.
We kind of stumbled onto a formula.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah, you have to find your rhythm, I think.
Yeah.
I think our earlier podcasts, and maybe our later ones aren't any good, but our earlier ones, I think, were a little more jumpy, and we were a little less aware of what we were doing.
We have our we semi-scripted.
How do you decide, obviously, if the one before a race weekend, a preview, and then the review afterwards, but the rest of your episodes, how do you decide on guests, subject matter? How does that all come about? I just do what Carissa tells me, so that's it.
Yeah, and we're thinking of trying that, too.
Doing what Carissa tells you.
Yeah, whatever Carissa tells us. It's a combination of places, I think.
Yeah.
We'll have friends online who may suggest somebody. In fact, our guests coming up Tuesday are Penny and Allison. And they were suggested by our listeners, saying, hey, these people would be great. We'll get book authors if we can. We'd loved having you guys. That's, you know, it sounds patronizing because I'm here with you, but I genuinely mean it. I actually do. You're amongst our favorites. Riley was fun. It was great having Tracy on. How else do we get our guests?
Something like Instagram. Sometimes we'll see like a really good story.
Yeah, we'll find
we'll
a good story on Instagram.
Oh my gosh, we
try
have
to contact those people.
Or if there's like a dream race of ours, I forgot her name, but she ran the UTMB race.
Her name, I understand why you forgot her name. It's Carissa. I can't, Carissa, and I can't think of Carissa's last name.
Yeah.
Quadracool is her Instagram handle.
Yes, Quadracool. And I blank sometimes. I'm like Dory from Finding Nemo.
It's okay. We're all getting older, and somehow Bob's still the quickest witted of all of us.
I'm not even sure where we are right now. This is not my office in my home. So.
Well, we got to use those shells to get you back home. I was in Finding Dory. But sometimes just inspirational stories. Like for her, like I said, like doing the UTMB, that's a dream race of mine, the 100 miler out in Chamonix, France. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's going to be the coolest thing. I would love to hear how that would be.
See, that was fun. And I started following Carissa on Instagram in 2016.
Yeah.
Because she, at the time, I think she was doing freelance work for Runner's World. She had some great articles, and I followed her on her Instagram off and on. And so I see she did UTMB.
Yeah.
I know how much it means to you.
Yes.
I contact her. She goes, heck yeah, I'll join. But that's it. We try to go about 4 to 5 weeks out. We've got some folks. And sometimes it's... Sometimes it's just us.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll have a product or something we may contact. It's not necessarily an affiliate relationship or a sponsorship, but maybe something I think is of interest to people listening. Hey, this may help you out. So most of the times we invite those people on, they're more than happy to come.
Well, here's an unfair question.
Oh.
I know. present company excluded, because I won't force you to that. Do you have a favorite? Was there an episode? Because I know for Carissa and I, well, I'll speak for myself, but every now and again, we'll have somebody we don't know a lot about, and that'll sneak up on you, and it'll turn into the best conversation ever.
I talked to both you guys about your interview with Cree. That was awesome. Not that your other shows aren't also excellent, which they are. And yeah, I know you're asking what's my second favorite interviewer. I get that. I can't narrow it down quite that much, but I will say love having Jeff, love having Chris, of course.
Brittany Charbonneau.
Wow.
Yeah, I knew that was it. Like I saw
Brittany Charbonneau.
She'll replace us all. I know she will.
She is at Colfax. Actually.
She's replacing me at Colfax.
I know. So. I know. I heard that. We contacted her and after she won all four.
Oh, that one, yeah.
And she says, of course. So then the next time, Jack had just done her first ultra or your first 50 miler?
It was my first 50 miler. Okay. It was a Lake Sonoma 50 miler. And she had ran it and she won it.
But she won it. So I actually got up with Brittany. I said, look, can you sneak on as a surprise for Jack?
Oh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She couldn't be any better. What a sweetheart. She's been on 5 or 6 times. Brittany, then there was one, right after Brittany won, we had the episode with cancer survivors.
Yes.
That was a favorite. And I'm trying to think there was another one. There was 2 or 3 in a row that I was really proud of about a year ago that really enjoyed.
Well, 2.5 years of shows. I mean, it'd be hard to narrow it down to one, which is why I said unfair question.
And it's a lot of work. We know. We get that it's a lot of work.
Of course you do.
Yeah, yeah, we have very different systems from you guys. You guys are very consistent on Tuesdays, and we're like, whoa.
Well, I think that helps.
May I just say, I have all the free time in the world. My schedule is generally an open book, but Ms. Travel the World.
The World
over
Traveler,
here.
Yeah.
It's always, okay, I'm jetting in from Saint-Tropez for 20 minutes.
Cool,
can we touch down and do a chat? Sure.
Sure. So how long did it take for the podcast to evolve, for you guys to start getting recognized and for the Run Disney people to kind of recognize you? Because it is a visual medium, but maybe they're listening to you. Maybe they don't, you know. When did that start?
Wasn't long.
No, I will say it started out the first year, but I feel like our second year especially, it was very much, whoa. And it's kind of crazy because like you meet so many cool people, but it's like I remember it was not this past marathon weekend, but the marathon weekend before that, I think. And we were sitting down at the expo area. There was a food court and we were just chatting and then someone's like, we have a question. I was like, hi, yeah, what? And she's like, are you Jack and Lexi? I was like, hi. It's crazy because it's like you don't know who's around you that's like that listens, and it's like it's so honoring and it's so like beautiful, and it's like you get to make so many great connections. I feel like what 2021 was like really the big year.
Well, 21's when we started, and even though we weren't very active by the first Wine and Dine, I still No, we started in 21.
No, I'm talking about like when it was starting.
Oh yeah, we grew quite a bit in 22. Yes, you're absolutely right. It didn't take that long. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised and shocked. And people will ask me, did you ever expect this? And the answer, of course, is
no.
Oh, no. No, absolutely not. But I like Jack said, I'm humbled, honored. I love it. If I open my mouth, somebody will say, I know that voice.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
People say that.
Or I was doing another podcast video with somebody, and it was a fellow who was a listener. And he said, Bob, it's so funny listening to you and seeing you because I'm sure you get that too.
Yeah.
Well, people see us more than they
people
see
knew
you.
Us going into it. Yeah. I was
unfortunately,
surprised.
For hours, they have to look at us. They don't have to look at us, but we're there to be looked at should you choose to look at us.
No. Right, I wouldn't choose to. Look away. Do not shun.
Have you had any moments outside of Disney where, you know, you're at the grocery store or somewhere weird and you're like, you know, you're not in the bubble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. And it's usually after I open my mouth. And what's funny is people are more likely to go to Becky and go, oh, is that Bob? I threatened I was going to have her t-shirt made that says, yes, that's Bob on the back with an arrow. But yeah, there were a couple here in Atlanta, a couple in Tampa, which is a big area. Mm-hmm. And it's a big area for Disney runners too, so it's not unusual. Yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah. It makes you feel like your work pays off a little bit, because, you know, it's not a lucrative career.
Oh, heck no.
Hobby, whatever you want to call it.
Well, we were talking about that earlier, Bob, off air. It's another one of those businesses where the 95% of the money is made by about 3% of the people who do
right.
it. So if we could just move into that, that would be really great
for
me.
Thanks for those of you who are listening.
Yes, thank you. We love you. Thank you very much. Okay, favorite Run Disney weekend?
Marathon weekend.
And why?
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
Extra
I mean,
day.
I think it's
the miles.
There's so many people there. Yeah. If you look at the amount of people that are Wine and Dine, Princess, Springtime, and then you look at the numbers for Marathon Weekend, there's there's four races, so it makes sense. But it's just such a big number. And all the weekends are magical, but for that one specifically, I don't know. It's the one weekend that I'm like, I have to do no matter what. If I don't get in, I'm going to be really sad. I just find, I don't know.
No.
It's just a different feeling.
I feel like everybody's there. I kind of agree with that. I like it a lot.
And it also comes, it's a new year. There just seems to be something about that. And I always say I love Princess because we as hosts always, I think we're better by that time of the season.
Okay.
Wine and Dine, first one back, and then Marathon Long Weekend. And Princess, it's like we're, in theory, a well-oiled machine. But I think that, too, there's just, it's out of the holidays. It seems to be kind of like the last gasp of the holidays as well.
And it's like that big, I mean, and that's the only weekend that has a marathon. So it's kind of like, and the Goofy Challenge and Dopey Challenge. And I know we talk about that weekend a lot because it's a really big distance. And I'm not saying anything, it's half marathons because those are huge distances in general. 10Ks are big distances.
It's special.
But for 48.6 miles, that's like a whole nother whoa, or 39.3. So it's just kind of like seeing people cross those finish lines. I don't care. Like any finish line, I cry. I will like watching people cross the finish line and seeing the reactions that they just did something awesome. That's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
But like seeing, especially somebody who did like Dopey or Goofy or their first marathon and watching them be like, oh my gosh, I just ran my first marathon. And they start crying. Yeah. It's like, I just want to hug you. Yeah.
I say it all the time. Like when you cry at the finish, that is my favorite.
Yeah.
Favorite thing because it matters. You see that it matters to people. And sometimes I'll go and I'll be able to walk back from the finish, and that's how I saw DW that one time. But just the people finish, and then like 4 steps after, you see it like sink in their face, and it's just the most beautiful moment, especially when you understand as an athlete, whether you train to 17 miles or you know what I mean, you got there, and that's just such a cool feeling because no one made you do that unless you're John Pelkey. But like often no one made you keep going when it got hard. No, there was no, if you didn't, nothing happened. You pushed yourself through there and that moment is so cool. And I do like Marathon Weekend for that reason. But Bob, you
Marathon's
said you like,
great and I,
you like
I don't
Wine and Dine.
I don't disagree with anything. I'm going to go with Wine and Dine.
I think Wine and Dine, if I'm going to label it the most fun, I feel like.
Yeah.
And the party.
Yeah. The party's always,
do you go to the party, Bob? It's very late. You do.
I take a nap in the afternoon.
Well, we've also been off 6 months before that.
That's
you haven't done anything for 6 months, and now you're back.
It's like going back to school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, seeing all your friends again.
Yeah.
So it's being my first and the coming back type thing. Yeah. So I'll take Wine and Dine.
Neither of you did the night race, Wine and Dine, when it was a night race.
I just missed it. Yeah. My first one was 19. 18 was the last night race.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. It was fun for me. I didn't enjoy the night races that much. They were harder on me physically. I was more tired by the end.
Okay.
I just remember being really tired.
Yeah,
remember, that was the, you can do anything, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
And we were so punchy.
Yeah. We got a little more punchy.
It was like a nutsack joke, but
it was a version
of that.
You know what I always hated about those night races? It was always the same weekend as like the Alabama-LSU college football game. And the year that it was almost canceled, we were 5 minutes away from being canceled, and I was in the trailer watching the game, and it was a hell of a game.
Oh.
And then they're like, we're going to do it. And I'm like, really? I have to go actually do my job now?
Uh-oh.
Very, very offensive. Very offensive.
Yes. All right, what I would like to know from each of you, your favorite thing about a Run Disney weekend and your least favorite thing.
You go first.
Oh, it's the favorite thing. The favorite thing is easy. It's seeing everyone. Yeah. It's being with everyone. That's almost – That's almost cheating picking that, yeah. Okay? So running through the parks, I'll add that. Least favorite thing, gosh, the training that leads up to it. The training can be tough and tedious, but the least favorite thing about coming down here, golly, looking at my credit card statement afterwards.
Yeah. That is so fair.
Yeah. But I just I love it. I love it. So it's hard to pick a least favorite.
What's your
thing.
Arrival time on race day? Like, what's your usual time that you try to get there?
On race day?
Yeah, on a race day.
I normally board the 3 a.m. bus.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is not typical. It used
That's
to be
not
the first.
Super early.
It's not the first bus
we
anymore.
We do a
it
show
used to be.
At 3:15, 3:30 that you're missing.
No, okay.
Just kidding.
That's a really loose interpretation of show. We say hello, and we need a couple of interviews.
Say hello,
but
you two, your whole crew, is a huge part of these weekends. I hope you know that. I think you know it. I think you appreciate
John knows
it.
Nothing. John.
I don't even suspect anything.
I have said this to you before. I know I have privately, and I think on one of the times you're on the podcast, 21 when we came back for Wine and Dine. I'm walking in. Doesn't seem right. It's a dreary day.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
And it doesn't seem right, and it's not the same organization. I can't go and meet with my friends. We got to go right to the corrals. And I hear your voices, and I go, okay, I'm home. It's going to be all right. That was an emotional moment.
Yeah. Well, I think we were all kind of wondering. I think Riley really was the one who it was either on your podcast or when you were talking to us. We just didn't really know what to expect because, I mean, coming out of everything that we had been through. And here is an event that flies in the face of what you should be doing in a pandemic. And now we're back and we're still, we're not on really solid footing. So it's good to hear the people
while.
Did feel. It felt that way. It felt really, really affectionate, if that's the word for it. Everybody, we felt a lot of affection from people that they were just able to be back and do it.
All right, Jack, favorite and least favorite and arrival time. The question has grown.
Yeah, because that may be the least favorite, actually. I mentioned it earlier.
There you go. You can have that one. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, Bob. I think my favorite thing every weekend is getting to meet everybody and see everybody because it's a one big community. But if I can tie it with this, I know we had already talked about it, but my favorite is like the cheering, the cheering aspect of it. I love cheering for races. So when I finish, the first thing I do is I go find a spot on the route and I start cheering because I think it's so beautiful seeing people crush their goals. I don't care what distance it is. I will be there to cheer for you. 5K, 10K, half, marathon, whatever. I think it's so beautiful to see people accomplishing something that is so crazy. Because if you think about the amount of people that do a half marathon, it's what, 1%?
Something like that.
1% of the world of people have done a half marathon. So seeing you get to be that 1%, and that's something so special. And so I love just seeing those kind of magical moments. And I would say my least favorite, getting up. Sometimes I get to the race, I'm like, why am I here again? I'm so tired. That bed sounds so nice. And then the moment the race starts, okay. It's like, I don't know what
happened.
Do you
sleep well the night before? Because managing sleep, obviously, for anybody who hasn't done with the races, managing sleep is probably the most difficult thing because everyone's different. And over the years, I've found different ways to do it. And I don't know about, I think Carissa has as well. But do you guys sleep well the night before?
So I have a plan that's worked now and I figured it out. You kind of have to, a week before, at least 4 days before the race weekend starts, getting up early and forcing yourself not to take any naps and then going to bed early. You get into a little schedule, and then by the time it's race morning, you really don't, you've got like already 6 or 7 hours of sleep because you went to bed so early, and it's like, okay, then it doesn't really change getting up early, that feeling of like, ugh, sluggishness. And it happened to work. I mean, my God, the Tower of Terror 10 miler, I went to bed at 5:30 p.m.
Okay.
And, I had 8 hours of sleep.
Wow.
It was one of the most beautiful things. I remember waking up and looking over at Lexi. I was like, do you feel good? She's like, I feel great. I was like, let's do this. And so it was great. I mean, when you have a plan and it works, do it. But I mean, still waking up sometimes is like.
But sometimes I forget when I announce a different race. And I think Chris and I have talked about this is, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to announce in a couple of days. And in my head, it's like, okay, so there'll be that one day where I get 2 hours. Oh, wait a minute. I have to be at the starting line at 6 a.m.?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's crazy.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I get too much sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's also that fear, though, this, I don't know if you do this, but anytime it's before race morning, I like wake up an hour before, 30 yep. minutes before the clock, 20 yep. minutes before. Okay, I guess I'm up. But it's still being like, my alarm clock, my internal one is quite horrible.
Now, see, now mine's really good, but it's like 17 minutes before I have to wake up. So yeah. it would be at, instead of 1:30, which is actually late, I couldn't get up that late.
It'd be late.
But it'll be about 17 minutes before that. I will always wake up and just go, yeah, all right, there it is.
And then you feel cheated. Up now.
Okay, guys, Blue Sky, we're putting you in charge of everything. We need notes for the entertainment team.
Oh.
Individually, take it either way you want, but Jack, will start with you. Any notes for the entertainment team? Themes you'd like to see, characters you'd like to see, anything that you would improve your experience outside of cost and having to get up really early in the morning, because we can't really do much about it.
I'm all about the entertainment along the course. Sometimes, like especially during the stretches where you're not in the parks, I would love to see just a little bit more entertainment. Like I know you guys have talked about it that you have like 3 slots per mile, right?
Yeah, Marcus, he's added to that and he's taken... You know, with the resource he's had, he always says the parks are their own entertainment. You don't have to. And tries to get it out there on three spots in a mile.
I would definitely love like a fourth. Not every mile, but like, you know. Because my thing when I run
about those
Disney,
popping out balloon ladies we talked about earlier.
I know, it scared me my first one, I swear.
Maybe they'll come down from the ground. They'll be like, that'd be really funny.
Just a drone. Again, I'm into the drone with a balloon that just follows me.
Goes through the course.
The balloon.
I like it. I like it.
But I don't know, like a theme though. I think my well, okay. Question: are we talking Disneyland as well? Because there are a lot of things that probably should change about. I loved Disneyland. Don't get me wrong, but they should have had Avengers characters. That was my biggest take on that weekend. Is you're running through Avengers campus and they didn't have a single Avengers person there. I remember running. And I was like. Kind of disappointed because I sprinted to get to that area. But that's the only like bit, well, that and a few other things, but character entertainment wise, that was one thing I wish over at Disneyland that they had. And I'm hoping for Halloween weekend that they're going to have that.
Well, they do have, so they're really, I've said this before, they're really theme centric, right?
Yeah.
So like they're very into like, well, this was Pluto. So everything has to somehow touch Pluto 5K. Oh. Everything has to somehow connect to, you know, Chip and Dale and these are the friends and this is this. So on Halloween, isn't there a Captain America, like a dead version.
Yes. So that's what I'm hoping.
Robin, if you're listening, I'm sure you're not, but they try to really, because the parks are so small, to make sure that everything touches the theme.
Yes. And like the 5K was everything I hoped and dreamed it would be.
The finish was so cool.
Yeah.
Yes, the finish was awesome.
I just remember like I sprinted the first half just to get through the crowd. And then after that, I felt like I had the whole park to myself because I was a bit further ahead. But that was magical. But in terms of like a race theme, one, please bring Avengers.
Yeah, right. That's
back.
It. That's okay. Just the best. You never did it.
Yeah. I didn't get to do the gauntlet. Can I get the gauntlet?
The best thing ever.
That's all I want.
Greatest.
And then I would love, I would love to do a race weekend catered towards attractions that are no longer here.
Okay.
Like the fact that they're taking away Dinosaur, my favorite attraction ever. I'm really sad. I'm going to be there the last day, ride it on nonstop. But I would think it would be really cool to do like, maybe like an attraction themed race or like, I love Hercules. Hercules
hasn't gotten a lot of love.
Yeah. And he's all about fitness, you know.
He can go the distance.
Exactly. Yeah. Like he could be the half marathon.
Got a medal. That would be great. Mm-hmm. Even the full. See, what you're going to get at marathon weekend, we're never going to change that. That's always
right. Yeah.
Characters. So that's the only thing I don't like about marathon weekend is that we get pigeonholed into. Okay. And Mark did a good job this year of doing the decades, but we're always Mickey and Minnie on Sunday. We're always Donald and Daisy because that's I like the evolving themes. I like when we get to have more fun with different movies.
Yeah, and I think I'll shout out because of your thing about the closed attractions is our old director, John Phelan, will give him a shout out. And my lovely wife was one of the archaeologists. Mm-hmm. He had I don't remember what year it was, but he had an actual spot where they had things from closed attractions. One of the cars from Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which I'll never forgive them for getting rid of.
Yeah.
There was a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea submarine, and there were a couple performers as archaeologists there. So he touched on that, but I do love the idea of closed attractions because, again, Galactic Star Cruiser could be an entire half marathon with
or
all of those
like
characters.
The like Michael Jackson, Captain EO. And you get so many cool costumes coming out of that. Let's just be real.
I'm so old, I was at the press event for Captain EO.
Is that right?
Opened.
What?
Okay, that's okay. You're still younger than I am, John. So you're all right.
Bob, any themes or entertainment things?
Themes and entertainment things. This is a little unfair because one thing I miss, I just said I'm old. I am. I would like to hear or see more of the traditionalists. I want to hear Jiminy Cricket sing When You Wish Upon a Star. Stuff like that. But that's not fair, okay? This is a different generation enjoying this. One thing I would like to see Disney do in these races, and I understand the efficiencies and logistics of starting and ending at Epcot, but I'd like to see some variation in the courses. Let's get back. We used to start at Magic Kingdom parking lot. We used to start it. We had a 5K that started and ended at Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. I hope we get back to that. If we do, great. If we don't, I'm still coming.
Yeah.
I do agree. Variety would be nice. Yeah. It's like you get so used to the course that it doesn't become like a big surprise.
Somewhere all of our techs are going, please don't make us move.
No, I do get that. I really do. And
I miss it. To be honest with you, I miss it being on Epcot Center Boulevard when we were out on the big. It just felt bigger.
I agree with you.
It just felt, and not that it's not, you know, there are a lot of good things about where it is now, and it's certainly a lot easier for our team. Because I wish somebody would do a time lapse of what they would have to do from half marathon day, everything they'd have to tear down to then put back up later that day because they can't be in the way.
I think I understand that.
Yeah,
I certainly understand
I completely
saying,
agree with you. And it's just, it's completely a logistic thing.
I mean, the first one I went to, we started at Wild World of Sports.
Yeah.
And that was fun. The people would be dancing, which we thought was insane. Like the people doing these, but DJ Steve, they're like dancing like maniacs. And we're like, you have to go run a half marathon. But that was a really fun environment there.
You know what they could do though is like if they're starting a race at 5K for Disneyland, why they should do it over at Magic Kingdom. Start in the parking lot, then you can still go through Magic Kingdom and end like, you know, right where you started. Yeah. That'll be a nice 5K different race change.
Well, I know our team, shout out to our Red Disney team, they work really hard to make with all the construction and everything.
Oh,
that
no, I appreciate that. I genuinely
Blue Sky,
do.
It would be great.
And Animal
but there you go, Blue Sky.
Yes. Animal Kingdom is always a challenge because it's sound issues and stuff with the animals. So
there was a year we had to do something about the course for Expedition Everest because of the baby hippo had just been born or something.
Right, it had just been born and we had to change stuff.
We had to turn down everything and I think it ended up shortening it a little bit just because we had to reroute because they didn't want because their goal is, you know, with all the animals and everything. Yeah. All right, before we guys wrap up, we have our standard closing questions that we're going to let each of you answer. Who would like to go first? Bob, okay.
I was slow.
You have to answer them. All right, what's the most inspiring moment you have seen or heard or been a part of at a Run Disney race?
There are many, many, many. And I'm going to be selfish and take the finish to this last Dopey where I got to push my friend. And a week after my 70th birthday, I'm finishing my fourth Dopey, pushing my friend Woody, and his mom Kim is an amazing person. Emotion-wise, I'm not being patronizing, but I love hitting that corner. The corral will make me cry, okay? Then I go to see Jeff, and then I see you guys. And I got pretty emotional on that one. There are so many, and you know this better than either. There's so many stories. There are so many stories amongst our friends in our community that inspire me, that if I name one or two, I'm going to leave others out, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But it's that's what Run Disney is to me. That's why I run Disney.
I have to go after that.
See? Wasn't such a great idea. Always answer the question first.
Right. I don't know. I think learning about getting to know people, the more people you get to know, the great, because then you get to hear all of their stories. And I've felt so honored that one of my close friends that, of course, she started out as a listener and I got to know her and I love her. Her name's Rachel. I felt super extremely honored that at the end of her first ever Dopio, I'm going to cry, she asked me if I could meddle her. And I was just like, that was so beautiful. And to be a part of that kind of special moment for somebody who just accomplished and crushed their, like, you know, they just crushed their goals. And the thing is so beautiful. And getting to be a part of those moments is extremely special.
I hope this doesn't embarrass her because I'm sure she'll hear it. But she finished that race. I grabbed her. She started crying.
Yeah.
And I'm holding Rachel. She's like, what do I do? I felt so honored.
Yeah.
That she felt that she could pour out those emotions on a stranger, but just our friends know us from listening to us, as your friends know you from listening to you. And it does go both ways.
Yeah. And it's just like, I feel very, like, again, super honored this year, especially because she's doing all the Disney races. She even did all the Disneyland races. So she's completing everything this year. And so I'm going to be there on the 10 miler, and I can't wait to see her cross that finish and just see her be like, oh my gosh, finally. Yeah. And getting to be there when she gets to be medaled again for the last medal of the season, I think it's going to be such a huge honor. My favorite thing, I guess, during a course is that, what was the other question? I forgot.
Oh, that was it. That's inspiring.
Yeah, 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 that was inspiring. It. Yeah.
You did a great job.
That's good. Yeah. Your podcast is inspiring. So before we let you go, people, the Rise and Run podcast, check it out anywhere podcasts can be found. And what about anywhere online? Facebook, the artist formerly known as Twitter, Instapot. I don't understand any of these things. Where else can people find you if they want to follow you?
Rise and Run podcast on Facebook. Rise and Run pod, because somebody else had Rise and Run or something on Instagram. And Jack's YouTube channel, I call it Jack's, it's our YouTube channel, but Jack does 99% of the work on it. You'd have to go to YouTube and search for Rise and Run.
Podcast. Yep. Yeah.
That's great. Good. Well, so great to have you here in Atlanta, our first road show.
Yay!
Our first road show. Thanks. I'm sure we'll talk down the line on either of our podcasts, and we look forward to seeing how many of the Rise and Runners are there for springtime. So, Bob, Jack, thank you so much for coming on 3-2-1 Go. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right, athletes, here's the drill. Time to shape up your diet. Carissa, give them the goods.
Hey, John, this seems like a loaded question. What do you know about plant botanicals?
The only thing off the top of my head I know is that some people gave me some really, I think it was our friend Zan and Chris, gave me some lovely botanicals to put in a gin and tonic. So that's all I know, little botanicals that you can put in for flavoring your gin and tonic. I'm assuming that they have... there are other reasons to imbibe.
It is. And this has become like one of those health halo, like a buzzword that people like to say about things. They're botanical extracts. So things that are extracted from the plants, they can be put into herbal supplements. But they actually do have a lot of health benefits because you're getting this huge nutrient content and you're getting bioactive compounds. So they're rich in vitamins and minerals and antioxidants, as are all plants, right? Plant botanical, it could be corn. It could be any plant. You know, that's a broad word, but they do have vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. They've also got phytochemicals like flavonoids, polyphenols, all these things, which when you eat a diet high in fruits and vegetables, you're getting them, which give you anti-inflammatory and anti-cancer properties. They can also support immune function. So you've heard of echinacea, elderberry, garlic. These are plant botanicals too, so they can help with our immune system. Digestive health, you know these things too. Ginger, peppermint, fennel, going to help with digestion. And stress relief and relaxation. Chamomile, lavender, passion flower. Plant botanicals, though, now, as I said, you know all those names, but we're putting them into foods. We're making more functional foods. So if you want to get in more plant botanicals, you don't have to buy an expensive, trendy food. You can just have them in foods you probably have in your house right now. Things like herbal teas. Wonderful way to consume plant botanicals. And if I could issue a challenge to you guys, it would be end 2 nights of your next week with a nice herbal decaffeinated tea. It's a great way to unwind, and it's a great way to get in some nutrition benefits. You can also find plant botanicals in spices and seasoning, things like turmeric, cinnamon, oregano, basil. So get in the kitchen and get some spices going, and there are health benefits to that. You can also buy powdered plant botanicals, and you can add them to smoothies or juices. You guys have probably seen that I love my Athletic Greens, so that's a way that we get in plant botanicals. We get in a lot of adaptogens from the mushrooms and probiotics. I've talked about that before. Weston and I use Athletic Greens a lot. And then vegetables. Don't forget your good old vegetables have plant botanicals. So when you hear a new buzzword, a new trending word, ask me about it. Let me break it down, because yes, you can pay a lot of money for plant botanicals added into your drinks, or you can eat more fruits and vegetables, or like me, you can actually do both. So if you want to find more information about these, boost your overall health, get on track with good nutrition. As you know, I recommend my course, Healthier You. It's a 12-week course. We also have the Healthier You Seminar Series, which is less expensive. You're going to get 4 seasonal meal plans, 1 for each season, and you get to join our monthly chat. So if you have questions about your personal nutrition, answer it then, and you can join our April 29th chat with Jeff. Use the code Jeff to sign up and save a little money.
Athletes, listen up. It's mail call time. Announcer Free, present.
All right, thank you, Sarge. Today, our good friend Surfs Up Don has another throwback question, Carissa.
We love you, Don.
Sent to us at our email. That's 321gopodcast@gmail.com in case you have a question. Don asks, my first ever Run Disney race was the original Tower of Terror 13K and 6.5K designed to honor the tower for her 13th birthday. We started at the MGM, boy, any old school folks out there, Toll Plaza, over by Indy, and it was great because we jogged over from Yacht as our warm-up. What do you remember from the original 3 tower races? I don't even remember if we were there.
I know that I missed one of them. Because it was the one that Cree, and he's talked about it, how he flubbed up because he tried to memorize his cards. I don't think I was there for that one. I don't remember the 6.5K.
I don't either.
I remember the 13K. I remember starting at the Toll Plaza because there were some bumps, literally, on the ground. I never dressed up in a bellhop, but then they dressed us up in the throwback, like Tower of Terror costume, so I had a wig for one. You looked very dapper. Here's what I remember the most. I remember that I've said before, the night races are more physically challenging for me because I wasn't used to them, and I would get both tired and hungry because it was a weird schedule. And I remember being at the Tower of Terror finish line. John, do you know where I'm going with this?
I believe so.
And starving.
Yep.
And there's,
I do remember, yes.
No food.
Frank Filippo.
No food. Literally, there's no food. It's like, and I'm not knocking anybody. No one thought about the fact that, like, we're going to start work at, I don't know, we probably got there at like 3. And
probably,
it's going to be like 12 midnight and there's no food. Frank Filippo, our old PA, he has now ascended the Disney ranks. We're so proud of him. Went and got us Subway somehow. And it was, I don't really eat Subway, but it was miraculous. It was delicious. And I will never forget you, Frank.
Yeah, I do. I do remember, now that you bring that up, I do remember that. I do remember the old time costume. And this was before they really paid a lot of attention to whether or not for our comfort. And we did look great, but mine was all wool with a vest. And I just remember, and, you know, we know how I sweat. It's like I have to do algebra. I sweat so much when I'm in those humid situations. And I remember being incredibly humid, and I remember all of us getting hangry. And
we were hangry.
Was that also during baseball playoffs? Was that?
Yeah, because it was in the fall, and we were back behind. We're in, like, that part, that road behind Tower of Terror, kind of where Lightning McQueen is now.
Right. And I think the baseball playoffs were going on, and I think my Nationals were in a game, if I remember correctly. And I was getting reports. I think it was pre-smartphone. So I was kind of getting reports from people on how the game, and I think it turned out to be like an extra inning game or something. But it's funny, now that you bring it up, it's all coming back to me. But the Tower of Terror thing has always been, it's just, you know, it went away for a long time, and then came back. I always enjoyed announcing the night races, but I get that it's kind of weird for us on any given weekend to throw one in.
Yeah, I liked it, though. I thought it was a fun theme, especially when it was there. I know we brought it back, as we all know, 1939, but because it didn't start at the studios, it wasn't kind of the same thing, but that was a really cool race concept. So thank you, Don. If you've got a Tower Terror picture and you're listening, share it. Tag us. We will share your OG memories. We can have a little trip, a 13K trip down memory lane. All right. Well, thank you again to Rise and Run, to everybody at the Jeff Galloway Weekend. And we are getting close. We can't wait to see you guys in a few weeks at Springtime Surprise.
Bye-bye.